This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello everyone, April the 3rd is our date and the program This Day in History, brought to you by Audible.com and by Amazon.com. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you, bringing you all the events, the birthdays, and who kicked the bucket on April the 3rd. All right, let's get things kicked off. 1043, this is... We sometimes go BCE.
No, this is just CE.
This is just CE. But we've got a King of England, Edward the Confessor, crowned on this date, which, are we sure he was really crowned on April the 3rd?
Yeah, that there,
all those calendar changes were okay? Well, really know?
I don't know if this, yeah, the Gregorian calendar, Julian and all that shit, but
Well,
you're easily amused
today. No, it's funny.
Profanity always has that effect on you.
Look, we have no idea what day it actually is. All right, Let's be honest.
We know who this guy is.
Yes, the Danes
had conquered England. This guy was the last king of Wessex, last of the Wessex house. Son of Ethelred the Unready, and one of my favorite names.
Yeah. What was she unready for?
He?
Ethel?
Ethelred.
Ethelred. Yes. One name. Got it.
The Unready. Yeah, he ruled after.
I don't think you want to be
Ethel
a monarch.
The Red.
I don't think you want to be a monarch with the
the Unready. I'm not sure what they called him. Well, when we get to him someday, we'll talk about that. But succeeded Harthacnut, another Dane.
The Danes were
ruling England.
Yeah,
here.
I can get behind that name.
And ruled for about 24 some. Well, let's see. No, it was 1066. So it's 23 years almost.
Yes.
Harold Godwinson took his place. We know what happened to him.
Off with his head.
Well, killed in battle. Battle of Hastings.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. 1066.
And all that.
You know, when the year is 66, you ever notice this about old England? 1066,
okay.
1666, 1966.
What happened?
Well, you got 1066.
We know what happened there.
And when we got 1666.
Well, what, the Great Fire?
Yep. Or and we got
plague.
1966.
What happened in 1966? They won the World Cup?
England won the World Cup.
You would think of that.
I got him.
And then 666, the devil's year.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So all why right, did they call him the Confessor?
I kind of couldn't figure that one out. I kind of read up on that, I assume. But they canonized him.
Yeah. He's a
so
saint.
He's the only only king of England's canonized.
That's a saint, right.
I'll look more into it in this confessor stuff.
Is it a good thing or
I guess
a bad thing?
Confessed his sins or whatever.
Well, or was he singing like a canary to,
like
Cagney? I mean, like, does Edward the Confessor sound better than Edward the Stool Pigeon?
Well, it's better than Ethelred the Unready.
Well, that's true. The Unready just ain't going to cut it.
It's nice. He started the building of Westminster Abbey.
That's no small undertaking.
Yeah.
Because a building that's 1,000 years old, and the size of the place, you know, it's not the biggest cathedral by a long shot,
and
but
it's
still.
Certainly not the most ornate.
No.
St. Peter's probably makes it look quaint.
Oh, I think you could fit it in St. Peter's probably.
Yeah.
But when you look at the building, you go, this is 1,000 years ago. They were, it's remarkable. It really is.
40 generations look down on you.
I know.
Look upon you.
Well, they look upon me. No one looks down on us. No one looks down. All right, 1860, Armand. Now, I don't know why it took so long for this to be figured out. And in fact, I don't think this was the first time this was done. It couldn't have been. But the Pony Express, in 1860, on April 3rd, the first successful United States run from St. Joseph, Missouri, all the way out to Sacramento, California, begins.
1,000 miles, yep.
10 miles per horse, switch the horse.
A little bit more than that.
A little more?
10 to 15, something like that. Yeah, it varied. You know, the guys that really were in trouble were these guys at these way stations. They were the ones that get attacked by Indians, and more of them died than the damn Pony Express riders.
They're sitting ducks.
Yeah, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and that was a dangerous job. It was like working at Quick Trip, midnight.
But you're telling me the Romans, the Greeks, no other horse culture in the world didn't figure out fast messaging by doing this?
What messages do they want to send? I mean, they're just sending – this is mail.
The Greeks, they send a message. They send a runner running 26 miles.
Well, they had semaphores. I don't know when those came along.
In Africa, they didn't even do this. They were smarter. They did the drum thing.
Well, that's good, too.
They did.
As portrayed in Road to Zanzibar.
Right.
With Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Well, sort of portrayed.
Remember that?
Yes. But they would know explorers were coming before they arrived. The explorer would get there and they'd
be... Yeah, but nobody's going 2,000 miles either. I mean, this is transcontinental thing.
And so were the African drummers drumming along the whole width of the Congo.
Okay. That's well, they had a light system or something. They had fires. I don't know. They had all kinds of... But this is different. They were taking actual mail. So anyway, it took about 10 days to deliver this, apparently. Stagecoach was 25 days.
Unbelievable.
So it was happening. I'm trying to think. Let's see. I think I wrote down how much it cost. It cost a lot of money.
Can you imagine what your ass would feel like after 25 days on a stagecoach?
I'd be lying down in the back.
You had to be beat to tarnation by the time you arrived.
Well, yeah, it was a tough trip.
There is no way around. Maybe the four-month cruise around the tip of South America was a better option.
These guys got $100 to $150 a month.
Holy,
that's pretty good money for back then.
Good money.
Yeah, these Pony Express riders.
Of course, you may not be able to spend it. The Plains Indians may wipe you out. But
Buffalo Bill claimed to be one, but they've never really found. He was like 14. They claimed.
He's a charlatan, isn't he?
Anyway, okay. So what? He's a capitalist,
right? Took advantage of everything. He had a good show. Took it to England. You should do. Who's going to refute it over there?
Who's the guy that made him famous? I'll think of it there.
What, Sitting Bull?
No.
Wild Bill Hickok?
Buffalo Bill.
Barnum?
He was in the show, remember? But there was a writer that made him real famous.
A dime novel type guy?
Anyway, this ended. It will only last like 19 months, and then it ended when, of course, the telegraph.
Telegraph, baby.
So why didn't the Greeks think of that? They're so damn smart.
I don't know if they could spin copper that finely.
Okay.
That might have been why.
They're not that bright. So anyway, as soon as I telegraphed, that was
Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. That's
pretty expensive, though. Man, I'm telling you.
I wouldn't have sent it.
Most people didn't.
Why?
It wasn't for the cheapo stuff. It was. I thought I wrote down how much it cost. Anyway, it was a lot. But anyway, that's what eventually drove them out. Anyway, business.
Yeah.
So anyway,
would have been fun to see it, I guess.
Part of the lore of the West. Yeah.
1865, the Union captures Richmond, Virginia.
April 3rd. Checkmate.
And that is knock the king overtime.
Yeah, I resign.
Yeah, that is knock the king overtime.
It's amazing how close these two capitals were to each other.
It's shocking.
And another way it took anything,
It's absolutely
year
shocking.
Year they fought.
And also the other thing that I never realized is Appomattox Courthouse is not a courthouse.
No, that's just the name of the.
It's the name of the.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's not. It's not. It's what's his name's farm.
Right.
What the hell's the guy's name? Maxie Asger. No, that's where. Maxie Asger's farm.
Maxie Asger's.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
That's Woodstock.
Oh yeah, no, that's a little further north.
It's not Maxie Asger's farm.
Little further north.
No, I should know that. That's a trivia question. I'll look it up.
But it's weird to have a sort of a town named Appomattox Courthouse.
Yeah, that's just the name of the
favorite book from that. Did you ever read like A Stillness at Appomattox?
Yeah, I read it. It was a good book.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Bruce Caton.
But, I was kind of on the side of the South. So
no, I know you still
tough
are.
Time for me.
You still are.
Yeah, I'm on that war. I wanted the South.
Let's see whose side you're on here. 1882. We got to – now, they'll say this is the American Old West.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, there's nothing Western about it. It's Missouri.
It's
west Missouri.
West of the Mississippi.
Okay, it's west of the Mississippi by one state and maybe sometimes Kansas.
I'm no big fan of Jesse James.
But
I don't mind anybody blowing his head off.
Robert Ford kills Jesse James on this date in 1882.
Well, he shouldn't have put up that home sweet home sign. Although, did you ever see the movie with Tyrone Power?
No. Have you ever seen the movie with Brad Pitt and Casey Affleck, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford? That's the name of the movie.
I know.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's
incredibly well shot. Very well done. You should watch
Jesse James.
Yeah. He gets up to clean the picture. He knows he's going is the implication.
I don't know how they know that. Was he adjusting home?
Adjusting a picture? No.
Is that how it was portrayed?
I think a picture of a horse.
Oh, really? It was Home Sweet Home.
Yeah, he's dusting the picture.
Okay.
And
Robert
Ford
got dusting himself.
Shoots him in the back of the head.
Yeah, who's that? Is that Dorothy Parker's, isn't that her tombstone? Pardon My Dust? it's a good tombstone.
That's a good tombstone.
Yeah. And the other guy, who was the guy that had the guy on the Goonies show? Spike Milligan on his tombstone. Yeah, I told you I was ill.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
Spike Milligan.
You ever see Royal Tenenbaum's tombstone?
No. With that movie?
Yeah. No. Well, Royal's the name of the man. That's Gene Hackman's character.
Right. Right.
His tombstone says, "Died tragically while saving his family from a sinking battleship." Which is a complete lie.
I like it, though,
I think something like that would be nice on yours.
Here lies one whose name was writ in water. That's Shakespeare.
So, yeah, Robert Ford then, he and his brother would reenact the assassination.
Right. They took it on tour and stuff.
And Robert Ford, and again, it's from that era of Americana that's kind of just lost.
Well, the 1880s. East were fascinated with this thing.
Right.
You know, this wild, wild west stuff. That stuff sold like – that's why I'm saying this Buffalo – I mean
– Well, Robert Ford was Bill. Yeah, he would buy dime novels of Jesse James himself before he even joined the gang.
Yeah. Well, he was infatuated.
That's crazy.
Well, this is after the Northfield, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. This
the
is
biggest
at the
blunder.
It's at the
these
end.
These guys were really screwed
up.
Yeah,
it's at the end.
So, yeah, the and younger Frank brothers James, were gone.
And Frank James is already taken off. So
Then they start another gang, and they're a bunch of, you know, punks, and they didn't do well.
They're pretty much lowlifes that Jesse could get
I don't know
over.
Why he trusted these dudes.
I don't think he did. I think he just realized he was caught.
I guess.
And got tired of the running game.
But anyway, I think the guy now I think Bob Ford walked into some saloon and got his head blown off.
In Colorado.
Yeah,
that
and
is
the guy
correct.
The guy went free.
Oh, yeah. Because
like a petition and
Bob
everything.
Bob thought he would be a hero for killing Jesse.
Right.
And as it turns out, the guy who killed Robert Ford kind of became a hero himself.
Yeah. Bob Haslam. Bob Haslam was the guy that set the record on the Pony Express, if anybody cares.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 380 miles he did in less than 40 hours.
That's impressive.
But who's the guy? I got the guy who killed Bob Ford.
Bob Ford.
Edward O'Kelly. Nice Irish.
Yeah, they were out in mining territory in Colorado.
Yep.
And he was, walked in, heard he was there, shot him right at the bar.
Right.
1885, Gottlieb Daimler granted the patent in Germany, that is, for his engine design in the automobile.
Daimler Benz.
That's a biggie. 1888, the first of 11 unsolved brutal murders.
It was a Prince of Wales.
Occur in Whitechapel in the east of London.
Yep, east end of London.
Jack the Ripper his groove on this date, April 3rd.
Yep.
Now, you think it's the Prince of Wales.
No,
do you really?
I read some, I don't know if it was a book or a little, whatever.
Patricia Cornwell has a book about it, and a lot of authors do.
There's several of them, yeah.
And there's one theory that it's even an American because of the surgical precision that this person knew. And because of the, forensics were not really a thing yet.
No.
But they
still
had
still in its infancy.
They had a lot of
as were serial killers, obviously.
Yeah, they had a lot of tissue to work with.
Yeah, they had a lot of specimens.
Yeah, they did. And there were some unique things about the bodies. One of the great things you can do in London, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you can go on all sorts of different guided walking tours.
Yeah.
And the Jack the Ripper tour that they do at night,
that's kind of fun.
Pretty damn good. Yeah, you would enjoy.
Well, Whitechapel was, notorious. The red light district.
Yeah, it's a red light district. Prostitutes, man.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't even go to a room. You just go into an alley.
Yep, that's right.
Which seems really
very convenient.
Unhygienic to me.
Well, it's London in 1888.
Yeah, I know. 1895, the trial of your buddy Oscar Wilde begins.
He's stupid. He brought this libel case, and all his friends told him, don't do that.
Don't do this.
Yeah, it was just a bad.
It's going to backfire.
Well, he was pissed off because his lover, I think we talked about this. His lover's father was, for boxing fans, Marquess of Queensberry. That guy.
Yeah. Which generates, it's Marquess of Queensberry rules, right?
Right.
Yeah.
This is the guy that promulgated all that.
He formulated the sweet science of pugilism.
And,
that's what he did.
Well, just the rules. He codified the rules. That's all. He wasn't exactly a boxer, although he could have kicked,
he would have killed me for sure.
Feather, he would have knocked over Oscar Wilde. But this guy, this guy's, and he didn't have to have a, was it Monkey Business? You could have knocked me over with a feather and Harpo hit somebody. He's got that pipe in it. He didn't have a pipe. Oscar Wilde was kind of, we all know, he was kind of a silly ass. but Flibbertigibbet. But I mean, he's one of my favorite authors.
But
he
winds up as the he brings this libel case on him.
Yeah, he has own fault,
and this results in him going to prison on charges of homosexuality.
Yeah, he went to jail, and then Ballad of Reading Jail should be read by everyone. Jail spelled G-A-O-L, by the way. Then he moved to Paris when he got out.
Yep.
Broken man, basically, and changed his name to Sebastian Melmoth. It's a good pseudonym.
I don't know. It doesn't really have a ring.
I think he died in 1900.
Well, speaking of his death, remember his last words?
Yeah, either that curtain goes or I go.
There you go.
Yeah. Which goes to show he was kind of a pansy to the very end.
1922, Joseph Stalin, one of Armand's
favorites. This guy's no pansy.
He becomes the first general secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union.
See, now I know what this means because Lenin's still alive. I think they're still fighting, you know, him and
they just gave titles out like candy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But, he's still fighting with, what's his name, Trotsky. You know, so they're having some.
Did you ever know that at one point in time, early, I guess, 1911, 12, 13, Trotsky, Freud, Hitler, and Stalin all lived within a couple miles of each other in Vienna.
Nice neighborhood. Yeah, well, they all lived in Vienna. I know
and
that.
Apparently they frequented the same coffee shop, yet they didn't know each other.
Oh, okay. Probably banged the same prostitutes.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, sure.
Well, Freud.
I don't know what Freud
was
doing.
Freud and Stalin.
Freud was contemplating his mother. I don't know what he was. It's weirdo.
Getting ready.
I think Stalin would. See, you want to have dinner? I'd rather have dinner with Stalin than Freud.
Oh, yeah. I don't need to be examined. 1936, Bruno Richard Hauptmann.
Yeah.
Well, on April 3rd, he's executed for the kidnapping and subsequent death of Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr. That is the Lindbergh baby, son of Charles Lindbergh.
Yeah, he did it.
Put to death. And the evidence on that one is, again, there's mysteries and people have come forward saying they're the Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, upon further review.
Yeah, I'm Anastasia.
Yeah.
Give me the Russian crown, please.
Well, yeah, I'm the proper king of France, then.
I'm Jesus.
I don't know about that.
You know, I think, didn't you see that on here today on the births? I mean, we haven't gotten to the births yet.
That is probably the birth of Jesus on this day.
Yeah, did you see that?
No.
Well, how come you didn't include that?
You
atheist swine.
No, it's not that I'm atheist.
I thought, by the contrary.
Yeah,
I don't know where that comes from, though. April 3rd. I know Christmas isn't the date, but I didn't know it was April 3rd.
No, I mean, I think even biblical scholars agree that it's sometime in the spring. You'd never hold a census right at the beginning of winter.
I don't underestimate
the Romans. But
Jesus' birthday. Google that. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see if you got April 3rd. All right, so speaking of birthdays, who indeed was born on this fine date, April the 3rd? 1893, Leslie Howard?
Not one of my favorite actors.
But a good silent film star, right?
Not silent.
He did talkies as well? Okay.
Oh, yeah, he was Ashley Wilkes in Gone with the Wind.
That's right.
That's his most notable. You know, he had a nice toupee.
He was over. He was
even
old.
He said he was way too old to play that part.
Yes, he's over 40 years old trying to play a 20-something.
Yeah, and to think that Vivian Leigh would fall in love with him instead of Clark Gable.
No,
it was supposed to be Errol Flynn. Now, that would have been a great
cast. Okay, that would have made sense.
Cast. I don't know why they
picked that always stuck with me, Armand. I was like, what?
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. There was problems. I've read varying accounts of this, that Errol Flynn was supposed to be Ashley Wilkes, but Rhett Butler too, because Olivia de Havilland was in it, but Betty Davis was supposed to be Scarlett, but they hated each other, Flynn and Betty Davis, so that didn't go. I don't know.
I think they got the casting right on it.
Yeah, except this guy.
Well, yeah, I think we could have.
I think he was pretty weak.
Now wasn't
this guy,
it true that George Reeves in Gone with the
yeah,
Wind?
Yeah, he spoke the second line. He was one of the Tarleton twins. With red hair, no less.
Okay.
He dyed his hair red.
Yep.
But, Leslie Howard died. They shot him down over around France.
Okay.
Now, I think the story is that the British knew that he was going to be shot down.
Oh, no.
They knew the Germans would know the code was broken if they saved
him. So it's the Coventry.
The Germans thought they were shooting down Churchill. Supposedly.
Oh, wow.
And it was Leslie Howard, so everything got mixed up, and they shot down his plane.
That's the Coventry conundrum. Is that the right name for it?
I don't know.
They got the intel about a big German mission, intercept it,
if they prepared their guys for the bombing and all that stuff, yeah.
So they basically sacrificed the factories in Coventry.
Right, you can't let anybody know that,
Brutal decisions. 1907, Iron Eyes Cody.
Was he the guy that was he the guy was on the yes. side of the road, had a little tear in his
yes.
eye?
Yeah.
When they threw the trash at his feet?
Yeah. Not an Indian, by the way. Not an Native American.
Yeah, I don't think
American. He was. 1922, Doris Day.
She's not an Indian either.
No, she's not. You were a fan of Doris Day?
And neither is Elizabeth Warren, by the
yeah.
way. All right. Yeah, I like Doris Day.
You liked all those?
Yeah, happy 95th.
Rock Hudson movies?
You know what Oscar Levant said?
No.
I knew Doris Day before she was a virgin. Yeah. Famous line. So, yeah, I like all the ones with Rock Hudson. I like Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk.
And what's the other one? The one with Vip. Remember the candy?
Is Pillow Talk the one?
Move Over, Darling, I think. No, that's the one he's dying. I think he's dying. Tony Randall's in all of them.
Okay.
He's great.
Is Pillow Talk the one with the community phone line?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Rex Stetson. Remember?
Rex.
Howdy, ma'am.
Stetson.
Yeah. Rex Stetson.
What a name.
Oh, we made it up, of course.
Name.
What was the one where they're like on the, they're both like advertising. They worked for advertising companies. God, what was that one called? That was a good one, too. And well, then they were married and move over to
a marketing agency,
yeah,
ad
yeah.
agency.
And he's like taking all these guys out and getting them laid and stuff.
Yeah.
He's taking away all her business.
Yeah.
It's really good.
All right. 1924, Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I want to talk about this guy.
Here we go, baby.
Yeah, Marlon's. This is the big one of the day. I think what I really want to talk about is more what this guy could eat. Have you ever read about what this guy ate?
Apparently he was like Hitch in that he could set it all up, power it all through it, and then go another round.
Well, at first, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, at first he was doing okay, but then he just got, you know, we're talking about Apocalypse Now toward the end where he was. But this guy, even when they were making Mutiny on the Bounty in 62, he'd take five. Apparently he was a big sucker for ice cream.
Who's not?
You know, I'm not. Who cares? I'd rather have donuts.
If I put a tub of ice cream in front of you, you're not
really,
going
to. I could resist it. You put some donuts in front of me, I'm going to eat them.
That's your Achilles heel.
Yeah, not ice cream. But anyway, this guy take a 5-pound. He'd buy it by 5 pounds. You know, that's a lot of ice cream. Go out, row in the middle of the lagoon, and eat it all. And like his wife was trying to get him
it's
to stop.
Sad.
Oh, man, he ate. Well,
just
I'm
a
just
man
looking at what
a...
he had for breakfast. Corn flakes, a stack of pancakes doused in syrup, sausage, eggs, bananas, and cream. He'd have half a dozen hot dogs. He'd get up in the morning, 3 a.m. You ever been to Pink's?
Yes, I have.
I think it's on La Brea. I could never go there. There's always a line too long. But it's on La Brea.
It moves though.
It's not by as far. You know the classic
okay,
one.
Okay, so what if
for the non
California people?
Yeah,
this is a classic chili dog hot dog soda joint. I think La Brea.
It's over on La Brea.
It's a north south street.
Yeah.
You drop down right off of Hollywood Boulevard to get down to it. It's very easy
to
find. And
far from La Brea and Vine.
They got a nice little courtyard in the back, and they're open all night. It's to catch the
drunks. That's where he'd go at 3 or 4 in the morning and have half a dozen hot dogs.
It's to catch the drunks and the drug addicts who need something in their stomach. But the food, it's pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, and they make the hot dog right there for
you. There's always a line out there. You can't even get
it. It moves, though, Armand. It moves. I'm telling you.
I don't want to wait. Okay, but not for a hot dog.
My mom loves it.
Anyway, he was doing Mutiny on the Bounty, and they had to get him put like a stretch fiber in his pants because he kept he kept ripping his costumes. I mean, they actually had to have like a body double in the afternoon. The guy was so fat.
Oh, jeez.
You know, for the long shots. I mean, he tore all his costumes, like 52 costumes.
Oh, poor wardrobe.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine
the
smell?
He was a mess, man. I'm telling you. This
okay, so I got some questions on Mark.
Yeah. Here's a snack for him. Pound of bacon and a loaf of bread.
Sounds about right.
That's a snack.
Obviously, he had some issues.
Oh, yeah. He was quite a guy.
He may have had issues from the get-go.
You know who his best friend was?
James Dean.
Wally Cox.
Huh.
Yeah. And he had Wally Cox's, because Wally Cox died young. He had a heart attack, dropped dead at like 40-something.
So Marlon lived every day like it's his last?
No, Marlon kept his ashes in his closet. He had an urn or whatever.
Okay.
He kept them in, you know, and he talked to them.
But in the closet?
Yeah.
Now, Wally didn't even get a mantle.
Well, he was supposed to get rid of them and like scatter them or whatever, but
sure.
He kept them. So apparently, he talked to
okay, let's
to
go
them.
To On the Waterfront.
Yeah.
All right.
Terry Malloy.
How much of that did he actually ad-lib?
I don't think he ad-libbed anything.
Okay, so
Bud Schulberg wrote
that script. Big contender speech. He's really
that was not ad-lib.
Okay, now why then, when we get 20 years later to The Godfather, he's not even bothering to memorize lines?
Well, they had but they had cue
cards all
over the place.
I know they have cue cards all over the place, and
they have it on like.
Now, is it really true the cat in the scene in the opening of The Godfather? He just asked for.
No,
and they
I
just
read
happened.
That Coppola just said, here, and just dumped him in his lap.
Okay.
Dumped the cat in his lap. Because
it made no sense that there was a cat on set.
Right. I don't know where Coppola got it, but he
got the
yeah.
And that cat spazzes out in Brando's lap
in fact,
as he does that
scene. Supposedly making too much noise or whatever. They had to like dub everything over again because the cat
really?
Was making so much noise. Yeah, that whole scene's dubbed.
They had to go to what is it called?
At least Brando's dialogue is yeah.
Voice tracking.
Yeah,
or?
They had to folio all that. Because he's yeah, the cat was making a lot of noise. But anyway, yeah,
he got $1 million for Superman for basically what 2 days'
I think
work.
He got more than that, I thought. He got,
more?
Well, no, he got like $3 million or something for 12 days or something like that.
Oh, well, good grief!
And he wanted, you know, that's why he's not in that scene in Godfather 2 at the end where they're talking about, you know, the birthday. He's thinking back on
yeah.
Dad's birthday. He yeah. was supposed to be in that scene.
Oh, he's not.
He just didn't show up.
Oh, he just didn't show up.
So nice. Coppola said, "The hell with it. I just shoot it without him," and that's why the scene is, you know, they're talking about him getting there and everything, and he's not there. But James Caan and all those other guys were in it.
Now, if you ever want to see an actor go off the rails, watch the documentary Hearts of Darkness about
the making
of Apocalypse
right,
Now
right.
and what Coppola had to go through.
Yeah, they were shocked. He was supposed to lose this weight, and he showed up at
360. He showed up a beast. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, in fact, they showed like one shot where they actually show him stand up to another guy, like 6'5", to show him this towering Hulk. It's not him, obviously. You know what happened on his nose? You know why his nose was crooked?
What, the dramatic bend down?
Yeah, that nose he's got.
Yeah.
He broke it. He was doing Streetcar Named Desire, apparently, and like on their off hours, these guys would go downstairs and box, him and some other guys in the play or some, you know, the guys that were like the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess somebody socked him one and broke his nose. And they put a bandage on him, and he kind of wanted to get out. He wanted to make a bigger deal than it was, so he took off the bandage so he'd get a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
And it never healed right.
Oh.
So, but yeah, that's how he broke his nose.
So you got to, is what's your favorite Brando?
Godfather, I guess. That's my favorite.
For me, I think it's Streetcar. I don't really.
I don't like his performance.
You don't like the performance, or you don't like the character of Stanley Kowalski?
No, I played Stanley Kowalski.
You did. You
I
played
that
Stanley.
Character.
Okay.
I was better.
Well, of course you were.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, you went up. So let me get this right, just for the record.
Yes.
You were on a stage yelling.
I had a different.
You were yelling Stella.
Screaming it, and pounding the floor too, chewing the scenery. I had to pull scenery out of my teeth for months. All right. So anyway, my favorite's Godfather, but I also like On the Waterfront.
On the Waterfront.
Yeah, On the Waterfront is great.
Then after On the Waterfront, it kind of goes off the rails.
Well,
I mean, there is Viva
Godfather.
For 20 years, but he makes
Last Tango in Paris.
Well, that's
wild, man.
But I mean from...
Interesting guy. Now you want to have dinner with a guy. This might be your guy.
Who? Bertolucci? Or
no, Brando.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole Tahitian affair.
Yeah, he's from Omaha, Nebraska.
That's crazy.
He lived with his on Bad Boys Drive with Jack Nicholson and Warren Beatty.
Is it the Wild One or the Wild...
Wild
the
One.
The Wild One. The motorcycle game.
Yeah.
That's an underrated movie.
He's the one that brought back, you know, we talk about Clark Gable destroying the T-shirt industry from It Happened One Night.
Mm-hmm.
Brando brought it back.
Brando brought back the T-shirt.
Yeah, oh yeah.
T-shirt, time. Jeans, rolled up jeans, black boot,
yeah,
leather jacket.
That's him, man.
Basically, he was the Fonz 20 years.
What are you
years.
Rebelling against? What have you got?
That's from The Wild One?
Yeah.
That's not from Rebel Without a Cause?
No, no.
That's The Wild
Brando,
One.
The Wild One.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Marlon.
Got
God
spelled
almighty.
From high school for riding his motorcycle through the halls.
That happens a lot.
Great guy.
That you can go to any country school and something.
He was on Sergeant Pepper's too.
Yeah. No, that's a big one.
You know, during Streetcar, you know, he was going to seduce Vivian Leigh.
Oh, of course.
As he didn't have her husband Olivia.
Who else was
a nice
in that?
Guy.
It was Vivian Leigh and
Carl Malden.
Yep.
And I always forget the gal that played Stella.
It's not Kim.
Kim Stanley.
Kim Stanley.
They all won Academy Awards except him, and he was pissed.
Oh, he should have been.
Because Bogart. Well, yeah, but he got it.
I know. They give Bogart the Lifetime Achievement Award
for African Queen. He was pretty good.
It's pretty good, but come on. He's with Hepburn.
Okay,
let's be honest.
I think Bogart was better in Caine Mutiny.
And, absolutely.
Well, Brando got the, you know, Brando got
Well,
it.
Then they should switch him.
It doesn't matter. He didn't show up for his. And then,
well,
then, of course,
show, he didn't
then,
show
of course,
up for the Godfather.
Oh, we have a guest.
Come on in.
Oh, guest bearing gifts.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
Great stories from history, 365 for every day of the year.
Wow, okay.
Given
Get
to
it.
Us. And
given to me.
Given to us.
That's mine.
Okay, by W.B. Marsh and Bruce Carrick. Let's just...
That's pretty good. So what do we got, April?
Let's go to April 3rd here. Let's go.
What are we talking about, though, with... with Brando.
Yeah, Brando.
Were we talking about Streetcar Named Desire or what?
We were just talking about something with Brandon.
Oh, damn it. I forgot. I lost my train of
thought. Man, see, we're so ADD. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. All right. The story in this book for today, King John commits murder.
Really?
1203, the four eaglets, as they were called, the sons of Henry II.
Right.
Henry, Richard, Joffrey, and John.
Yeah.
Yep. Boom. Dead. There
of
you
course.
Have it.
That's there King John, all right.
King John.
Those were the good old days.
See ya. All right.
I like that book.
Yeah. No, there you go. By W. Marsh and Bruce Carrick. Check that out. Look for it on Amazon, folks. A gift from one of our cohorts here at lineupmedia.fm. Just walked in and gave it to us. Beautiful. 1926, happy birthday, Gus Grissom. We've talked a lot about Gus.
Apollo 1.
Yep. 1930, happy birthday, Wally Moon. Know why he's significant?
Wally Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that. Was it something about the Cardinals?
First
Cardinal manager or something?
Nope,
or
you're close. First rookie of the year?
For the Cardinals, yeah.
No, first Cardinal rookie of the year. I think first overall rookie of the year.
Really?
Okay. I don't think they started that award until 53-54.
Okay.
1934, Jane Goodall born.
Oh, yeah.
I love Jane. I got to see her in the Rose Bowl parade. That was actually like a big thrill for me.
It's Jane Goodall.
She does the chimpanzees.
Yeah.
At Gombe. Yeah. On the Uganda,
right, and then it's
Tanzania.
I forgot.
And the other one is Diane Fossey, who did.
Yeah, but there's another one too.
Oh, there's a third girl.
The Trimates.
Yeah,
Leaky used to call them.
And Leaky was their sponsor.
Yeah, he called them his Trimates
on everything. Diane Fossey, Jane Goodall, and
Diane Fossey.
Because Gorillas
something Dick.
Gorillas in the Mist is the Fossey movie.
Yeah,
which Sigourney.
Birute Galdikas.
Now, how
name.
Am I supposed to remember?
I know,
that?
I can't. I've 50 times I've looked it up because I always, who were his Trimates?
I have trouble with the 100 Berute Years
Galdikas. War. Birute Galdikas.
How am I going to remember Birute Galdikas?
And she was, now what is she? She did Gorilla. No,
did she do
Fossey
the orangutans?
Gorillas. Yeah, she was. And
so the three major primates, yeah. Chimps, gorillas, orangutans, and there's other majors as well, I think.
But Louis Leakey called him his Trimates.
His Trimates, yeah.
Leakey's Angels.
Leakey's Angels. Oh, Jane Goodall was.
Barute's still alive.
She was. Jane's still alive, isn't she?
Yeah, she's alive.
She was beautiful.
They killed Diane Fossey.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Okay.
Horrible.
Happy birthday to her, I guess.
Happy birthday, Jane Goodall. I always wanted to meet her, but I got to see her, so I was happy.
Now, this guy's dead, unfortunately.
Lyle Alzado was born in 1949, the American football player and actor.
The Orange Crush, remember?
Yeah, Oakland. Let me think about this.
He played for the
Raiders, but I'm thinking when they beat the Redskins in the Super Bowl, they were the Los Angeles Raiders.
Yeah, they were.
They had moved.
They were in Oakland, no.
Because they made it to the Super Bowl 15, they won, and then 2 years later, they won again, but they had already moved.
Okay.
Very rarely does
it. So was it 84 then? 82, 84, whatever?
Yeah, I think so. Might have been. Or 80, 82.
82 was San Francisco won, I know that.
That was actually
Cincinnati.
That was the conclusion of the 81 season.
Yeah, but it's 82.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
It was January of 82.
Right.
That's 16. That would have been 83 then.
Okay.
Yeah. Jane Goodall, Lyle Alzado, Alec Baldwin. Happy birthday, Alec Baldwin. Go ahead. 19. I love him. God, you got to admit the impressions are fantastic.
Yeah, he's funny. I laugh.
You know
his
who
Trump
is,
impression is really good.
It's good.
I got to admit. I hate the guy, but that's funny.
He's thinking about putting it away, though.
Why?
Because he goes, how can you satire?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Try satiring Obama and see how people shoot you.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
No, they
can't
won't.
Can't get away with it.
Sure, you can. It's
sacrosanct.
His best impression, though, Alec Baldwin, it's Charles Nelson Reilly.
Really?
Oh, he does a Charles Nelson Reilly to die for. Oh, my God.
Well, I tell you what.
I think he's done it on SNL.
His best was the beginning of Glengarry Glen Ross. That speech.
Always be closing.
I love that.
Always be B, C, closing. Always be closing.
Put that coffee down, you cocksucker.
Coffee is for closers.
Yeah, that's a great. And that wasn't in the
you
play.
You are not men.
Yeah. Look at that watch. Took off his watch.
This watch costs more than your car.
Yeah, that's great. You
What's your name?
Sucker.
Fuck you. That's my name. Yeah.
We got to play that. Get that up there.
Oh, man.
I want to hear that whole thing.
All right. For Alec's birthday, we'll put that on the website. Don't let me forget.
Now,
we'll put that
great.
On our Facebook page.
Okay, like I said, that just goes to show what an open mind I have.
That speech.
Yeah.
Mammoth
wrote it for the movie, not for the play.
Mitch and Murray sent me. I'm from downtown.
That's great.
I mean, that set the tone. And the whole bit. because there is no business in the world. None. You could work at KFC or you could work
show with all my workers
at the biggest Fortune 500 company. Winner, new Cadillac. Second place, set of steak knives. Third place, you're fired. Great.
Yeah, good movie, man.
In 1961, Eddie Murphy born. Yeah. You ever see a guy who was so hot, then just kind of
changed I like
gears as much as he did?
I think he's funny. I watch a stand-up.
Let
he's
me tell you,
funny.
Is there anything better? I know it's inappropriate.
Richard Pryor, yeah.
Yeah. It really, for me, it probably goes Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
And then Delirious.
Bill Cosby's pretty good, too.
But Cosby never took it to the edge.
Well, yeah, but that just means dirty. No.
There's a different type of edge. See, Richard and Eddie could do a good job of insulting everybody.
Yeah.
Like the railroad depot guy saw Christ the day he was killed. That bit that Richard does. You know that bit?
I don't recall. Okay. I've heard most of
his
stuff.
In that one bit, he nails everybody. And Eddie, in his stand-up, no one was safe. And I know it's completely politically incorrect.
Who's funnier? I don't know.
But, man, the only—
See, I mean, the old-timers like Milton Berle and those guys, they all look down on all these guys.
Oh, I know they did.
Because they think that's like, you know, that's out. If you use profanity, you're cheating.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Get up.
I mean, Henny Youngman.
Are you going to get up in the late 70s, early 80s and repeat Milton Berle and Jackie Gleason's act?
No,
you got to do the next bit.
No, you don't have to repeat Lenny Bruce either. I mean,
no, and no one did.
I'm saying they're funny. I like them, but.
Funny how?
They amuse me.
I.
All right, let's get back to the.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any birthdays to add, actually. A couple of deaths you didn't. Oh, well, 1904, Sally Rand.
Is she born or?
Born, yeah.
Okay.
Birthday, I mean, fan dancer, bubble dancer.
I think my
real name was Hattie Beck.
I think my grandmother might have seen her.
Yeah, but she's at 1933. She was the Chicago World's Fair.
They did those.
I didn't know Cecil B. DeMille gave her a name.
She was
apparently doing movies.
What was her?
I just said Hattie Beck.
Hattie Beck.
I don't know.
Sally Rand.
She changed to Sally. Yeah, he got out of Rand McNally.
She did the big feather deal.
Yeah,
with
feathers
the lights
and
behind her.
Bubbles. She's a bubble dancer.
Technically, she's not nude, but.
Yeah, she got arrested anyway.
Yeah.
Four times in one day, apparently.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
the Chicago World's Fair.
Why?
I haven't been out of work since the day I took my pants off.
No.
Sally Rand.
You will always have employment.
There you go.
Maybe not.
She used to dance to Claire de Lune by Debussy.
A lot of those shows used to come through East St. Louis.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And I didn't have any clue what my grandmother was talking about till I saw a documentary, and I realized, oh, she's at the late night blue show where they're doing this because that's not the afternoon matinee. No, it's good stuff. All right, back to the events. What do we got? 1942 in the Philippines.
Well, these next two kind of related, aren't they?
They are.
Put them together.
They are. The Japanese forces, they begin the assault on the U.S. and Filipino troops on the Bataan Peninsula. That assault begins April 3rd, 4 years to the date in 1946. General Masahara Homma, the Japanese lieutenant general, would be executed for leading the Bataan Death March.
Yeah, that was no picnic, that Death March. I think I would have rather rode in the Pony Express.
There's a good book on that by Dan Hampton called Ghost Soldiers. I don't know if you've read that one. And it's not a long, but it's a good read. Actually, all Dan Hampton's books are a good read. I have quite a few of them, Armand. Check out that at thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner and go look for that one about the Bataan Death March. There's a lot of books about
the Bataan Death March,
but this is a sort of a more recent one, about 10 years ago.
Well, the Bataan March was kind of a rallying cry for everybody.
Now, here's one that Armand will take exception to.
Oh, boy.
1948.
You should have put this one last.
Why don't you let me set the stage?
I'm going to be apoplectic.
Let me set the stage.
Yep.
Harry S. Truman signs the Marshall Plan, which authorizes $5 billion in aid for 16 countries.
Yeah, eventually $13 billion is what they got, which would be like $100 billion this day. Yeah.
Hell of a plan.
Yeah.
Hell of a plan.
Yeah, it's a good plan. Yeah, right.
You rebuilt,
we need a market for our multinational corporations.
You rebuilt Western Europe
bullshit,
and Central
bullshit.
Europe.
Bullshit. That's crap. That's total bullshit.
You rebuilt Japan? No.
Nothing to do with it. Nope.
What was it for?
Okay. A very minuscule part of it went to West Germany. West Germany grew much faster than England or Greece or any of these countries that got the most money.
England was in recession almost until the
1960s. Yeah, but they got the most money from the Marshall Plan.
I know.
So, okay, how come they didn't succeed?
They were in recession.
Yeah, that's what this was supposed to fight. Communism, yeah, right? They're going to fall to the communists.
Well, didn't defeat
Greece
the
Greece too.
Look, Armin, all I'm telling you is it didn't defeat the recession. There was austerity.
There was a recession here too.
Due in to the this. 1950s?
1947.
Okay, that recession.
Sure, there were three recessions in the 1950s during the Eisenhower administration.
Would you not say the 1950s were pretty? Yeah, also a recession.
That's a myth. That's a myth.
A recession means the economy is not growing.
No, it's going for two quarters. There is no growth.
There's
or,
no growth.
Or negative growth.
Depression is the economy is shrinking.
No, that's not true.
What is the?
There's no definition of depression. And even recession, they say two quarters of negative growth is a recession.
Yes.
Okay. But I've never seen it. There's no economist defines a depression. You can't find it. And if it is, it's tainted because that's not what it is. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. This was a big boondoggle to American companies. What did it do? It gave the Europeans money. They had to buy our goods. It didn't rebuild anything. They gave them $13 billion to these governments because under the guise that the Russian communists were going to take it. Like in Greece, for instance, the Greeks had nothing to do with the Russians. They just wanted money. They had communists. They all had communist party. So all these social democrat parties pop up that are supposedly for the, you know, are getting friendly with the Russians. They had nothing to do with it. They just wanted money. It was a big boondoggle.
It's the creation of the European welfare state. I think we can all
exactly.
agree on that.
That's what it was. And that's a good thing?
I'm just saying it's a thing.
It's a terrible thing. It's to defeat free markets. Who were the architects of this thing? Dean Acheson, of all mm-hmm. people. We've talked about this guy.
Yes, we have.
Mr. Globalism.
Yes.
And remember Mr. Harriman from Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid?
Yep.
His son, Averill Harriman, he was at
now,
the
bottom. Now, a guy from the Union Pacific should have known better.
Yeah. You shouldn't have procreated.
Well, now you got me pissed off.
Yeah, they should have blown up the boxcar with this guy in it. Averill Harriman. So these guys.
Well, I don't think Butch and Sundance knew that was coming down the line.
You
want to
set the scenario? Let me set the scenario. World War II is over.
Yes.
People are sick of rationing. People are sick of the government running the economy.
The economy is run by the government.
Yeah. They said enough of this shit. And the
look,
unions
your
are powerful.
Parents, my parents, or my grandparents, you've seen. Look, it's true.
Truman's poll numbers were.
You've seen the ration stamps.
The Republicans had just
right?
taken over. Yeah, I'm just saying. People are sick of this shit.
Yes.
Okay. But Truman didn't want to let go of all this power he had. His poll numbers were dismal. The Republicans had taken over the Congress in 1946. So here comes this great boondoggle they can do. Hey, how do we get power back? Because it's great, World War II. We told everybody what to do. So, hey, I got an idea. The multinational corporations said, listen, we need a market for our goods.
Yeah.
Okay.
Build us a market, please.
Yeah, send money to Europe because there's a dollar shortage, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. Under the guise of a dollar shortage. They don't have enough dollars to buy our goods. So let's send them dollars so they can buy our goods. Does that make sense to you? You're not exactly an economist. Neither am I. But that's just stupid.
No, it's a pump-priming mechanism.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a new deal.
At the best,
they
right?
They said it was TVA every week.
No.
Oh, anybody tells you the Marshall Plan saved Europe is full of shit. Doesn't know what he's talking about.
Wow.
Oh, Marshall Plan.
Okay, calm down. Calm down. It's going to be fine.
Big propaganda.
It's gonna be fine.
They had a big propaganda.
Because let me tell you about this next event.
Oh, my God.
The American Civil Liberties Union. Now, don't have a stroke. They announced they'll defend.
I have a problem with this.
They'll defend Allen Ginsberg's book, Howl, against obscenity charges.
Right.
That brings you
back.
That's
fine.
We're defending free speech.
Right.
There you
That's
go.
That's when the American Civil Liberties Union did something like defending free speech instead of being socialist.
1968, Martin Luther King Jr.
I mean, have you read Howl, though?
I've
It probably
read
should
Howl.
Have been banned. It's so horrible.
I have not read
Who
Howl.
Who was it said? That's not writing. That's typing.
I have no plans to read Howl.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound illiterate, but I just... Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I've Been to the Mountaintop speech, which is notable because his death is...
I don't think he ever climbed a mountain.
Is just days away.
Yeah.
Not too far 1973, off. Martin...
Wait, that's right. It was 68?
Yeah.
Well, it was tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's got to be tomorrow.
Well,
right?
No, okay. This
April 4th is
this
when he died.
This is the speech.
But was it 68 or 69?
68.
Okay.
Because Robert and Martin Luther King both go in 68. This is the speech given in Memphis to the striking sanitation workers.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we know what happens tomorrow.
Okay. 1973. Let's go there. Martin Cooper. Now, Martin Cooper works for Motorola, and this is hard for me to wrap my brain around. But this gentleman... is able to make the first mobile phone call from a handheld device, and he calls Joel Engel of Bell Labs.
I wonder what they talked about.
I don't know. But still, 73?
Yeah.
I would like to see the size of the contraption he had to hold up to his head.
That was like the big...
Like a boom box.
Yeah.
Well, but still.
I don't know that. It was like a big, yeah.
Do you remember the early cell phones in
the
cars?
Yeah, I remember the cars. Yeah, right.
From the 70s? Right. And I never understood how they worked. You know what I thought when I was a kid?
They didn't have cells. I don't know how the hell they did it.
Yeah. Well, you should say mobile because it's not a cell.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just assumed it was rich people acting like they were important. I literally thought this as a kid.
Well, it kind of was, but...
Because I was like, there's no wire.
It
can't work. There's no wire. I had no conception of, you know, a radio or a citizen's band or anything like that. But occasionally you'd see someone with those one of those big things. You'd be like, Dad, what's that? And be like, it's some muckety-muck. Oh, okay.
Just feigning communication.
Now, this next one you're going to like.
I don't know if I like it.
I don't know. This is unusual.
We all know this guy's a nutcase.
In 1975, on April 3rd, Bobby Fischer made it official by refusing to play in a chess match against Anatoly Karpov. And by refusing, by default, that hands Karpov the title of world champion.
Yeah. And we know from a week ago or two, Karpov got it because he beat Korchnoi, Victor Korchnoi.
Mm-hmm.
Fischer, I don't know if he didn't like the drapes, the rugs. Yeah. I don't know what the hell he was getting enough money. I don't know what.
Now, I can respect that.
Yeah, me too.
He's holding out, I can respect that. I'm okay with.
What a nutcase. Speaking of that.
But he's going downhill at this point.
He may be related to our next guy.
Well, in 1996, 21 years later, Ted Kaczynski, he is captured. That's your Unabomber, folks.
Now, what does Unabomber stand for?
Oh, man, it's an UNA.
Yeah, UNA. University and Airline Bomber.
University and Airline Bomber.
Yeah.
So he's holed up in Montana, and he's caught.
I think his brother turned him in.
His brother did turn him in. Yeah. And everyone says, we didn't have domestic terror. Yeah, we did. We had Timothy McVeigh. We had the terrorism during the civil rights. We had the terrorism of the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, it depends on your definition of terrorism.
Well, if you want to put an adjective in front of it, yeah, he's not Islamic.
Right. Well,
but it's still terror. Yeah, still terrorism.
Okay, but the vast majority of these things that we got to worry about, you're not worried about Ted Kaczynski.
The vast majority of Muslims. The vast majority of terrorism, Armand, that has happened in this country has nothing to do with Islamic.
Yeah, has happened, but now it's got to be, you got to assume it's going to be Islamic. Well, what's the biggest threat?
I think the odds are in the...
Not guys like this.
I think the odds are in the favor that it might be, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to keep them out of here. And that's...
How do you police against these nuts, though?
Well, it's difficult. This is, he sends shit through the mail. Nobody says it's a panacea. You're just trying to
limit it,
yeah,
man.
It's like cancer. You're going to get cancer one way or the other. You live long enough.
We're just trying to
don't
reduce...
Don't smoke. Don't eat,
Just trying
charcoal.
To reduce the odds.
Exactly. Well, that's all people can do.
So... this was big, though, and because I remember, thinking...
This guy was a genius, man.
Well,
That's
the thing that's so scary.
A mathematician, I think.
When someone that smart...
Well, look at Fischer. He's smart, too, but look at what a nut he was. That's the...
Is this where you're heading? Because you're really smart.
I know, my genius.
Do we have to watch you?
I don't even think I'm smart enough to send up something in the mail.
That's true.
Okay. I don't think I'm bright enough to pull this off, and I hate Montana.
Why?
I like the city. I'm not going to live in the country. Oh, are you kidding me? Living
you
in
a cabin?
Ugh.
Oh, the Grizzlies would have you.
I get on
a
Match.com. As soon as a gal says I like camping, next. Deleted. Camping. Get lost. And you know what I mean? These chicks love it. I mean, you love camping and fishing. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
We'll go camp in a river somewhere.
And finally, our last event for the day, 2010. This is a good one.
Yeah.
It's not a...
I don't know how to work it, but
I've
got a Kindle. I guess the same thing.
Well, iPad will do more, but Apple released the first generation iPad.
Does Apple sponsor this show?
No.
Okay. Amazon does.
Yeah.
Hey, you see that Bezos now second? He's almost going to catch Buffett. He's
he
made
is?
Like $15 billion this year.
Well, he's having a good quarter.
Oh, Amazon's up like 24%.
Oh, they are. They're killing it, man.
Mm-hmm.
They are killing it.
Why?
They really are.
You know why.
Well, they don't really have much competition.
No.
He's owning the market.
Trump.
What?
He's business friendly.
Okay, he's business friendly.
That's what it is. What do you think drives the stock market?
He's been in 90 days. How has this changed?
No, he's been in five. He got elected 5 months ago. That's enough
time.
What's
changed?
The attitude. That's what's changed. That's what it's speculation. The market is speculating. They're not betting on what it is today. They're betting on what's going to be in 6 months to a year.
That's fine.
There you go.
That's fine.
If
you're going to bet on the tax reform bill going through and have
it has nothing to do with it.
Why not? Because it means more bottom line money.
It would really help, but that still doesn't matter. He's going to get rid of these regulations. That's easy. Because that's Obama just doing that by his pen and his phone. So that low-hanging fruit, that shit's gone. He's already erasing. The regulations is what's destroying
Tell
people.
Me what regulation is so destructive to
the
Amazon.
The EPA. No, not Amazon. Not Amazon.
No,
but,
no, specific. Let's talk about Amazon.
Okay.
Or Apple.
Right.
Okay. What regulation is so destructive?
I don't know what they have, but I'm sure there are plenty of regulations. But the more regulations are going to be on these little guys. But it's the overall business atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This guy's a very business-friendly guy. And Bezos hates his guts. You know how much money he's made off this guy? He owns the Washington Post, Bezos does.
Mm-hmm.
Paid like a dollar for it.
Not bad.
He got cheated.
Not bad. I only got a couple deaths.
Okay.
What do
I
you
got?
Got?
A few.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you missed a couple of big ones, like Brahms.
Yeah.
What happened? You don't like Johannes Brahms?
No.
Died in 1897.
Johannes
Brahms. We're talking about
Jesse
James. Who cares?
No, Jesse James, just to mention again, killed on this date by Robert Ford. In 1882.
Okay.
Johannes
Brahms, 1897.
Good.
Academic Festival Overture. I like 4 symphonies. Played around a little bit with Schumann's wife, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, well, after he was dead.
Oh, no.
You know, well, I think before, too.
Oh.
But, well, the guy was a nutcase. Schumann was nuts, too, throwing himself in the Rhine. So, I mean, somebody had to bang his wife.
Let me get this straight. Under your logic, if you throw yourself,
if you're non compos mentis, your wife is fair game.
If you throw yourself in the Rhine, someone's got to step
up
and bang your wife.
Try to drown yourself. I'm gonna take your wife to bed. If I had this guy, this guy's a genius. I like Johannes Brahms. I like his symphony.
All right, who else we got?
Conrad Veidt.
Conrad Veidt.
1943. Yeah.
What'd he do?
What did he do? Have you ever seen Casablanca?
Yes.
Okay. Of course you know, the Casablanca is honeycombed with traitors.
That's him?
Yeah. Mademoiselle, in Casablanca, life is cheap.
Cheap.
Yeah. That's him, Conrad. He was actually the highest paid actor in that movie.
Are you serious?
He's making like $5,000 a week or something. Yeah.
Whoa.
He's a famous German actor. He was totally anti-Nazi. That's why he left.
Now, who was the French?
Major Strasser.
And that's Claude Rains?
No, it's Conrad Veidt. Major Strasser.
Wait a second. So Conrad Veidt's the
German.
No, that's the German. No,
yeah.
Who's the French guy?
Oh, that's Louis.
I'm surprised to find
gambling.
I'm that's
shocked.
Claude Rains.
Yeah, I'm
Got
shocked.
It.
Shocked there's gambling in
this establishment.
You're winning, monsieur. Oh, thank you
thank
very much.
You for...
Yeah, that's Louis
I gotta tell you,
Renault.
As timing goes.
I'm just a poor corrupt official.
Comedic timing goes, that scene.
Well, it's pretty good dialogue.
Has
yeah.
to be. Because
that's
one
great.
Beat late. And you could have messed the whole thing up.
Yes.
One beat early, and it's no good. I mean, that kind of time.
Yes. Well, that's why it's the best movie ever made.
That timing
in
is
my
incredible.
Opinion.
I wonder how many times they shot that particular scene to get it right. Because just the blocking on it, just, you know, because the guy has to walk up at the exact, it all has to come together
right.
in this.
I think you're a little bit
I'm really amazed
it's
by
not,
it.
It's not that mystifying a bit of stagecraft.
No, I think it is.
I think it was well done, but it's certainly
– When it comes to –
it's not the Apocalypse Now attack on the village, you know what I mean?
I get it, but when it comes to comedy
– Yes, I think it's great. I'm just saying simple things make it great.
I
don't think it was that
complicated. We're talking about two different things.
Or complex.
When it comes to comedy, though, that timing,
yeah,
it's essential.
Well, yeah, but some people got it and some don't.
Don't, right. They had it.
But it's nice to have great dialogue and great actors.
Look, no doubt.
Okay, Johannes Brahms, Conrad Veidt. Oh, by the way, I was going to say about Conrad Veidt. There was a movie called The Man Who Laughed. It was a German expressionist movie.
Oh, wow.
Silent. Conrad Veidt, if you watch that movie, and you know this is true, Bob Kane used him as the inspiration for the Joker.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I got to watch this then.
If you see, it's probably on YouTube. You see his makeup. He's got this...
He's got the weird
smile
grin
on his face.
And everything.
Yeah. It's the Joker. And I didn't know. I didn't put two and two. I didn't know that until I read about it. It's like, that's right. I mean, if you look at that, that's exactly what he looks like.
Now I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if Heath Ledger went and watched that.
I don't know. But he was, he gave a lot of his money to, British war relief and stuff. Because he was really anti-Nazi. Died of a heart attack in 43, like right after Casablanca.
Aww.
Yeah, dropped dead. Great actor.
Boy, did he play the German.
He was the guy in Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
No.
Remember that?
No.
He was the monster in Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. It's like the first horror movie. or the most famous silent, like silent like 1919 film. German expressionism.
Yeah.
He was the monster that, was in his cabinet.
Okay.
So this is Conrad Veidt.
All right. Great anyone actor. Else, Armand? Who else? Who else died? Kick the bucket. I got here's the here's
I thought
mine.
There were more. Go ahead.
I got Juan Trippe, who is significant for founding Pan American Airways, also for trying to run Howard Hughes out of the commercial aircraft business.
Oh, is he the Alan Alda guy?
No, that's the senator. Juan Trippe is played, again, by Alec Baldwin. Happy birthday, Alec.
Okay, right. That's right.
He plays Juan Trippe in Martin Scorsese's The Aviator.
Okay, that's right.
And
that's
also one of my favorites, Cesare Maldini, father of Pablo, great Italian footballer and coach.
Conrad Veidt's better.
No, I think probably as an actor he's much better.
Yeah.
I don't think Conrad Veidt's first touch was anywhere near Cesare Maldini's first touch, though.
Yeah, but he's better made. His makeup was better.
Now the Cesare and he didn't need makeup.
Yeah,
he and his
I guess
son.
Oscar Wilde probably had the best makeup though.
Probably. All right, as we put a bow on this one, folks.
I guess we're gonna. I guess the Marshall Plan is my vote.
I think for the affecting the world we live in today. Ugh. I don't think there's any doubt it's the Marshall Plan, Armand.
Yeah, but not for the reason you think it is. Saved Western society and Western civilization.
We don't have to agree on the reason. We just have to agree that it is.
Yeah. It's the biggest waste of all time. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And it affects the world we live in
from
either perspective.
You know what saved at least Germany? I've mentioned this guy before. Ludwig Erhard and the German economic miracle.
Yes.
1948. Deregulation, less taxes, a new currency. And look what happened. Boy, it went sky high.
Was that the invention of the Deutschmark?
As we know it today. You replace Mark with a Deutschmark.
With the Deutschmark. Yeah. Okay.
Well, now it's a euro, of course.
I know.
That's stupid, but we'll go into that some other time.
Don't worry. I think that you're probably going to get your way, Armand. That whole thing's going to fall apart.
Boy, I hope you're right. Your mouth to God's ear. Well, Milton Friedman said it's going to happen, fall apart in 1999, so... Well, let's see who's next. France. If Le Pen wins, she wants out.
If Le Pen wins, they're out.
She wants out. The Dutch guy didn't win, though, but
he did not.
But who did win was they're pretty much neutered.
Does Belgium have a wacko in there?
I don't know about Belgium. Who cares about Belgium? Too small.
Well, Dutch?
The Belgium's nothing. Dutch are more important, but the French, if they get out. Scotland.
Then Scotland will get out.
Well, I don't know.
Then they'll all get out.
Scotland wants to get out of the...
It'll be anarchy.
They're going to talk about them getting out of Britain again, but because they want to go back to the Union, though.
Well, the opposite reason.
You're fucking stupid. This is just a ridiculous... But here, you talk about the European Union. Everything is so great. Well, then why don't we have something like that in the United States? Break up the whole damn United States and make it like the European Union.
Yeah, no.
A single currency and a single defense... like NATO or whatever, but otherwise you're all autonomous regions or states.
Yeah.
It supposedly works for them.
Well, some of the founding fathers wanted that.
Yeah, and some of the...
But you're not a founding father, Armand. I hate to remind you.
Some of the foundling sons wanted too.
No, not foundling.
Foundling, I am, yes. I'm a bastard.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sons of the American Revolution is not going to have an invite for you, okay? I'm just saying.
George Marshall... This wasn't even his idea. He just got...
Oh, he got his name on it,
He was the Secretary of State, and it got foisted
on him. He's got his name on it.
I told you who came up with it. Atchison and the rest of these globalists.
All right, there you have it.
And Harriman.
April 3rd is in the books, folks. Thanks for tuning in to This Day in History. Don't forget, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. And, of course, whenever you want to pick up one of our book recommendations, and we have many of them, go to This Day in History Podcast, click on the Amazon banner or the Audible banner to look for the audio version of the book, and do yourself a favor and treat yourself to our recommendations. We don't steer you wrong, folks. Not at all. When April 4th rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm. So long.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.